Our gracious Heavenly Father, we do want to crown you King in our hearts today. Pray that you will truly lead us and guide us in all that we do, that we will be pleasing in your sight. We thank you for each one who has come to church this morning. And we ask you to bless each one of us as we worship you together. We pray that we might have our needs met, whatever they may be. We pray, Lord, that you'll speak to every heart and teach us what we need to know. We might understand your word and hide it in our hearts and live righteously in your sight. Lord, we ask you to bless and guide now and lead us in the service today. Be with those that cannot be with us today. We ask you to watch over them and keep them in your care and undertake in their lives as well. Thank you for all your love to us. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. All right, this morning we're going to be reading from Genesis chapter 29. We've been going through the book of Genesis for some time now. And this is kind of a long passage. I'm not going to read it all to begin with, but it's about the life of Jacob and so forth. So we'll begin reading at Genesis 29, verse 1. Then Jacob went on his journey and came into the land of the people of the east. And he looked, and behold, a well in the field, and lo, there were three flocks of sheep lying by it. For out of that well they watered the flocks, and a great stone was upon the well's mouth. And thither were all the flocks gathered, and they rolled the stone from the well's mouth and watered the sheep, and put the stone again upon the well's mouth in his place. And Jacob said unto them, My brethren, whence be ye? And they said, Of Haran are we. And he said unto them, Know ye Laban, son of Nahor? And they said, We know him. And he said unto them, Is he well? And they said, He is well. And behold, Rachel, his daughter, cometh with the sheep. And he said, Lo, it is yet high day, neither is it time that the cattle should be gathered together. Water ye the sheep, and go and feed them. And they said, We cannot, until all the flocks be gathered together, until they roll the stone from the well's mouth. Then we water the sheep. And while he yet spake with them, Rachel came with her father's sheep, and she kept them. And it came to pass, when Jacob saw Rachel, the daughter of Laban, his mother's brother, and the sheep of Laban, his mother's brother, that Jacob went near and rolled the stone from the well's mouth and watered the flock of Laban, his mother's brother. And Jacob kissed Rachel and lifted up his voice and wept. And Jacob told Rachel that he was her father's brother and that he was Rebekah's son. And she ran and told her father. And it came to pass when Laban heard the tidings of Jacob, his sister's son, that he ran to meet him and embraced him and kissed him, brought him to his house. And he told Laban all these things. And Laban said to him, Surely thou art my bone and my flesh. And he abode with him the space of a month. And Laban said unto Jacob, Because thou art my brother, shouldst thou therefore serve me for naught? Tell me, what shall thy wages be? And Laban had two daughters, was Leah. And the name of the younger was Rachel. Leah was tender-eyed, but Rachel was beautiful and well-favored. And Jacob loved Rachel and said, I will serve thee 7 years for Rachel, thy younger daughter. And Laban said, It's better that I give her to thee than that I should give her to another man. Abide with me. And Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed unto him but a few days, for the love he had to her. And Jacob said unto Laban, Give me my wife, for my days are fulfilled, that I may go in unto her. And Laban gathered together all the men of the place and made a feast. And it came to pass in the evening that he took Leah, his daughter, and brought her to him, and he went in unto her. And Laban gave unto his daughter Leah Zilpah, his maid for her handmaid. And it came to pass that in the morning, behold, it was Leah, and he said to Laban, What is this thou hast done unto me? Did not I serve thee for Rachel? Wherefore then hast thou beguiled me? And Laban said, It must not be so done in our country, to give the younger before the firstborn. Fulfill her week, and we will give thee this also, for the service which thou shalt serve with me yet 7 other years. And Jacob did so, and fulfilled her week, and he gave him Rachel, his daughter, to wife also. And Laban gave to Rachel his daughter Bilhah, his handmaid, to be her maid. And he went in also unto Rachel, and he loved also Rachel more than Leah, and served with him yet 7 other years. So we'll stop there for now. Let's have a word of prayer. Our Father, may we find some kind of example from the life of Jacob that will help us in our daily life as we seek to serve you. We pray that your holy will might be done. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, let's look at Genesis 29 and the life of Jacob. God speaks of himself as being the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He made a special covenant with Abraham that's passed on down through his son and now to his grandson. And we know that Jacob was kind of an unsavory character, one who used various means to get what he wanted. And he managed to get the birthright from his brother. And then he got the blessing from his father in a very dishonest way. And yet God said that he was going to be the one that would be his chosen leader, the one that will carry on the covenant that God had made. And it amazes me that how God uses each one of us in spite of our limitations or in spite of any problems that we might have in our lives as well. Jacob left his home to escape his brother's wrath. You know, when Esau found out that he had stolen the blessing, he said, I'm going to kill him. You know, and so his mother and his father sent him to Haran, back to the home country, to find a bride and also to get away from Esau. And he had a strange encounter at Bethel. We saw this last week, the place where he named the house of God. He found that he had a dream with the ladder going up into heaven that we saw is in the New Testament tells us that that ladder to heaven is Jesus himself. He told Nathanael that you'll see the angels going up and down on the Son of Man, right? Jesus is the way to heaven. He's the way to the Father. And here, Jacob had this special dream and was encouraged and anointed the pillar there at Bethel and named the place and returns later. We'll find that God sends him back there to have a close relationship with him. But Jacob here in what we read this morning, he finally arrives at his destination or near his destination. He comes upon this field, and he sees the shepherds out there with the sheep, 3 flocks of sheep, and the well, the common well, community well, where they would water the sheep. And so he goes up to these men he sees there, and he says, who are you? Where do you come from? And they said, we're from Haran. Oh, do you know Laban? Laban was his mother's brother that he was going to go and stay with. And they said, yes, we know him. He's doing well. And his daughter Rachel is coming with the sheep. What a coincidence, right? You remember the same thing sort of happened when Abraham sent his servant to get a wife for Isaac. The servant prayed and said, Lord, would you please send this young lady here and have her offer to water, give me water and also to water the camels. Then I'll know that that's the one I'm supposed to get, right? And sure enough, it happened just like that. And here we find, as soon as Jacob arrives, here comes Rachel. Now, I don't know if he took that as a sign or what. But anyway, right away, he saw this young lady. And he thought, oh my goodness, she's beautiful, isn't she? You know, I'd like to get to know her a little bit better, right? And so we find here that he goes up to her. He finds out who she is and explains to her who he is. That he is, it says here, brother, her father's brother, but the word brother there means relative. So he's actually his nephew, right? And a close relative, in other words. And the son of Laban's sister. So he explains all that to her, and she runs and gets her father, and they welcome him into their home. So now Jacob has traveled all the way from Beersheba, down in the southern part of the country, all the way up now to Haran, about 450 miles, can you imagine? On foot. That's quite a trip, isn't it? I don't know how long it took him to get there, but I'm sure it was quite a journey. And he explains that he comes to stay with them for a while. And Laban, of course, invites him in. He's the head of the household, and they're showing hospitality. You know, the people of the East are known for their hospitality. They always welcome people in, and they don't turn anyone away, you know. And so here we have Jacob being welcomed into the family, and he stays there for quite some time. I think it says a month. He's there for about a month. And then Laban says to him, you know, you've been here about a month. You shouldn't be working and helping me and so forth without any kind of payment. You know, we'd like to have you stay on and I'll pay you your wages. What would you like? That would be a nice thing. When you go to get a job, they ask you, how much would you like? You know? And but anyway, he wasn't interested in money, so to speak. He was interested in a wife. That was the main reason that he had come there. And he already had his eyes set on the one that he wanted. See? He saw her when he first got there, Rachel. And so he makes a deal with Laban. He agrees to serve for 7 years in exchange for Rachel as his wife. And the scripture says, you know, that he loved her so much that the time just went by so quickly. So fast, he didn't even hardly realize that it had been 7 years. So he is looking forward with anticipation, with eagerness to finishing this up and being with his wife. You know, and we've already seen how Jacob is the trickster, right? The con man. He's done this on a number of occasions. But now he's meeting another con man that's going to take him to the cleaners, so to speak. Huh? Laban. Laban is going to teach him a trick or two, because he says, okay, hey, we finished your 7 years. We'll have this wedding. So he gets a feast together. He invites in all the people from all around. You know, and they have the feast and all this, and you know, you've seen these folks in the Middle East, how they dress, what they call a veil. You know, when they talk about a veil, they mean a veil. You know, it don't just cover your head or, you know, just a little bit. It covers your whole body, right? And so at the end of the day, when it was getting dark already, right, Laban takes his daughter by the hand, and he takes her over to Jacob. He said, okay, here she is, you know. This is your new bride. It's all settled. Here we are. You're married now. And so they go into the tent and spend the night. And the next morning, he wakes up, and he looks at her, and he says, Wait a minute. You're not Rachel. It was Leah, the older daughter. And it says up here, you know, talking about these two women. In verse 17, it describes them. It says, Leah was tender-eyed, but Rachel was beautiful and well-favored. So there was something about Leah that just wasn't that appealing. She was older to begin with, and then she had something wrong with her eyes, I guess. A tender eye. I'm not sure what that means exactly. But anyway, it says that Rachel was the beautiful one. And that's what he was looking at. He wanted the beauty. And but he found out that Laban pulled the trick on him. And the next morning he finds he's with Leah. So he goes to Laban and he says, "What is this that you've done to me? I served with you for Rachel. Why have you beguiled me? Why have you tricked me in this way?" And of course, Laban has an explanation, doesn't he? He said, "Well, you know, in our country, we have a custom. The older daughter has to marry before the younger one, right? So I can't give you the younger one until after, you know, Leah is married." So he used that. I don't know if that was the custom or not, but he probably made it up. But anyway, that was the explanation that he gave. And he said, "But we'll remedy this. There won't be any problem." He says, "You can work another 7 years and get Rachel," right? Back in those days, of course, they had polygamy, you know, and they didn't seem to think there was anything wrong with that. I don't see where anybody is consulting God about any of this. Did you see any of that? Is there any consultation with God about any of this? I don't think so. Here they're just operating on their own initiative. And he said, "Oh, you can also have Rachel. I'll give her to you. You work another 7 years and you can have her as well." So we find here that's what he does. He works for another 7 years. It says in verse 27, "Fulfill her week, and we will give thee this also for the service which thou shalt serve me yet 7 other years. Now, you know, many times in the Bible, when especially in prophecy, we talk about a week being 7 years, but that's not what the case is here. He's talking here about a literal week, 7 days that we use, you know. He says, "Yeah, let's have the feast, you know, and spend the 7 days celebrating your wedding with Leah. And then after that, you can begin working towards the next one of getting Rachel as your wife." And so anyway, this is what he did. He fulfilled her week, and he gave him Rachel, his daughter, to wife also. So after the week, 7 days, he also gave him Rachel, and then he promised to work for her, for him to pay for her dowry for 7 years. Anyway, we find here, Jacob has two wives. And you know what happens when two women get together in the same house? You know, I know they have polygamy and it's an accepted practice, but it always leads to division and unhappiness in the home. And that's what happened here. You remember the story of Hannah and her husband over in the book of Ruth? Oh, wait a minute. Am I in the wrong place? I'm in the wrong place. In Judges, isn't it? Where Samuel comes on the scene. Samuel is going to be her son. All right. Anyway, the deal was there that there were two women, Hannah and Peninnah. And Peninnah was able to have children and Hannah was not. And she was very sad about it and all this. And finally, she had to pray. And she was allowed to have Samuel. But there was all kinds of dissension and heart hurt in her life because of this polygamous marriage. So it's not a good idea. Any of you folks that's not yet married, just take one. No more. That's enough. Okay. You'll be sorry if you do otherwise. Anyway, there's a problem here because it finds that Jacob loved Rachel, and therefore he wanted to be with her. And that means that Leah was neglected, and the scripture says he hated Leah. Now, whether or not he actually hated her, but anyway, he preferred Rachel, right? And so he gave her all of his attention and so forth, and this creates a real problem. Leah is jealous of Rachel and her, and all that she's receiving and all of these things. So what happens? Verse 31, and when the Lord saw that Leah was hated, he opened her womb, but Rachel was barren. So we find that God blessed Leah because Jacob was not treating her right. And he allowed her to have children. And it says here in verse 32, Leah conceived and bare a son, and she called his name Reuben. He's the oldest. And she said, surely the Lord has looked upon my affliction. Now therefore my husband will love me. Now here it mentions the Lord. He's the one who allows us to have children or not have children, isn't he? He's the one who originates life, you know. And many times in the scriptures we find there were a number of them that started out, they couldn't have children. There was Sarah, there was Rebecca, and now Rachel, all three of these, right? And God shut their womb, and they were not allowed to have children until he saw fit to do so. So God's in charge. He's sovereign, isn't he? And here, in this case as well. And so she had a son named Reuben. Reuben means see a son. That's his name. Okay. And then just one right after the other, she has four sons. There's Reuben. And then there's Simeon. Simeon means that hearing, that the Lord heard her prayer, and he's answering her prayer. So here we find Leah, at least, is acknowledging that God has something to do with this. She's praying and receiving an answer to her prayers. And then the next one was Levi. She's hoping then that her husband will be attached to her rather than to her sister. So that name means attached or joined. And then Judah is the fourth one. And Judah, of course, means praise. She's praising the Lord for these sons. Because, you know, back in that day and in that culture, this was the woman's main reason for living, actually, wasn't it? To have children, especially sons. And so for her not to be able to have a son was a great a burden upon her. And so she is praising God for this. And Judah, of course, is the tribe through which the Lord Jesus eventually comes. And these sons are the sons of Leah, the oldest sister. And chapter 30, verse 1, when Rachel saw that she bare Jacob no children, Rachel envied her sister. See, it works both ways, right? And said unto Jacob, give me children or else I die. How about that? And Jacob said, Jacob's anger was kindled against Rachel, and he said, am I in God's stead? Who has withheld from thee the fruit of the womb? He says, who do you think I am, God? I can't do anything about that, right? And so we have this problem that's getting bigger all the time. And so, again, the custom that they had back in those days was you could have a surrogate, I guess you call them, someone else to take your place, another wife. So she gave Jacob her maid, her handmaiden, Bilhah, that she might bear children in her name. And sure enough, she had two children. Now this was an Naphtali and Dan and Naphtali are the two sons that she had. So then, I mean, this is a strange story. It really is. I'm kind of skipping around here a little bit. We find that when Leah saw that she left bearing, she took Zilpah, her maid, and gave her to Jacob. So now he's got four wives. And she has two children. And that's Gad, which means a troop is coming. How about that? And then Asher was the next one, which means happy. So she's happy that finally she's got these children, even though she had to do it in a different way. And it's just, it gets very complicated, doesn't it? Then we found this little story here. This is kind of interesting, I thought. I heard Dr. Jeremiah talking about this the other day from verse 14 in chapter 30. It's a little, and Reuben went in the days of wheat harvest and found mandrakes in the field and brought them to his mother Leah. Then Rachel said to Leah, "Give me, I pray thee, of thy son's mandrakes." And she said unto her, "Is it a small matter that thou hast taken my husband, and wouldst thou take away my son's mandrakes also?" And Rachel said, "Therefore he shall lie with thee tonight for my son's mandrakes." And Jacob came out of the field in the evening, and Leah went out to meet him and said, "Thou must come in unto me, for surely I have hired thee with my son's mandrakes." And he lay with her that night. And God hearkened unto Leah, and she conceived and bare Jacob the fifth son. His name is Issachar. So it's strange things happening, right? I mean, here they think that this mandrakes, they said, was a plant. They call them love apples. And they think that it's something that will help the woman to conceive. And kind of a superstitious type thing, I think. But at any rate, it says that God hearkened to her, and she conceived. So it wasn't the mandrakes. It was the Lord allowed her to have another son, fifth son. And then it says she conceived again and had a sixth son. His name was Zebulun. And in verse 21, afterwards she bare a daughter and called her name Dinah. Can you imagine? This poor girl. 12 brothers and one girl in the family. Can imagine what she went through. But at any rate, that's the family up until this point. Well, there's one more. There's one more. Finally, in verse 22, and God remembered Rachel, finally. And God hearkened to her and opened her womb. And she conceived and bare a son. And said, "God hath taken away my reproach." And she called his name Joseph. And said, "The Lord shall add to me another son." So here's Joseph coming on the scene finally. God remembered Rachel. He hadn't forgotten her, of course. But he, in other words, he allowed her to have a son. And she named him Joseph, which means adding, because she wanted to add another son. And she did have another one. His name was Benjamin. But unfortunately, she died in childbirth. So that was the end. That's the family of Jacob. You know, the 12 tribes of Israel. This is where they begin. All this this family is a lot of confusion going on. And it's just amazing how God uses all of these things. And we find that once again, there's problems that develop because of favoritism in the family. Because just like Jacob had loved Rachel more than any of the others, now he favors Joseph and Benjamin. You see, and we know the story, don't we, of Joseph and the coat of many colors, right? And what the other brothers did to Joseph, and what happens to him. And all of that came about because the father favored one over the other. And it's a lesson that we should all learn, that we need to treat people in the right way, especially our children, that we would not put one above another, or that we would cause division and hatred, heartache. I mean, with all these things that are happening. And so Jacob then, we find in conclusion here, had come to Haran alone to find a wife to start a family. That was his idea. Now, as I said, he has four wives and 12 children already in a household filled with dissension and jealousy. It's not something that I would want. Certainly not what he had planned. Yet God had chosen him to fulfill his plan and would still use him in spite of his problems and his imperfections. Isn't it wonderful how God works in the lives of his people to accomplish his will? How much better it is to yield to him and not suffer because of insisting on having our own way. Yeah? When we go God's way, we do a lot better than we do when we try to go our own way. Right? The scripture says there's a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. See? It only causes heartache and problems when we choose the wrong pathway. And here we find Jacob looking at things from a purely physical standpoint. He preferred the one that was beautiful. He didn't bother to consult God. And all of these things worked around and around in circles until finally it all comes together. And God's will is going to be done no matter what. So some lessons there for us somewhere, if you can figure that out. Think upon it. I know that was a lot to digest all at once, but I wanted to get through that much in showing how Jacob formed his family. And we'll keep on going, looking at his life in the days that come next Sunday and so forth. Well, yeah, next Sunday. It's a Sunday after we have witness, so we'll talk some more about Jacob next week. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you again for your word, and I hope I've been able to get across the message here this morning that will be helpful to somebody. I hope that each one of us will know that it's so much better to follow your will than to go our own way. And may we truly learn something that will be helpful to us in our lives day by day, that your holy will might be accomplished and that we might follow it in the way that you'd have us to go. And we'll thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.